I just want to send out prayers to the ones that was lost last night. We're actually working right now to identify the families.
Astro.
At 9:02 p.m. on November 5th, 2021, Travis Scott began performing at the Astroworld Festival. 5 minutes later, at 9:07 p.m., the first 911 call was received referencing distress in the crowd. A mass casualty incident was declared at 9:47, but Travis Scott's performance continued. Finally, at 10:12 p.m., the show ended. It had been over an hour since the first 911 call, and 10 people were dead in the crowd. Among the victims were two high school students, a man who was trying to save his fiance, and a 9-year-old boy. This is now known as the Astroworld tragedy. My name is Ashlyn.
I'm Kevin.
This is Shai.
And I'm Cole.
We're law students at SJQ College of Law, and this is an episode of Pop Torts. Today we're breaking down a huge pop culture tort tragedy. First, we're going to talk about exactly what happened the night of Astroworld. We'll talk with Travis Scott's criminal defense attorney about where responsibility fell in the criminal case that was dismissed earlier this year, and then we'll dive into the remaining 1,500 civil suits that are pending. We'll wrap up by talking about how social media and the court of public opinion may play an additional role in providing justice to victims.
So I know we all heard about the festival, but how exactly did that many people die?
All the victims died from compression asphyxia. Essentially, the victims were crushed by the crowd. It was already shoulder to shoulder when a mass of concertgoers began to compress to the front of the stage minutes before Travis Scott's performance even started. And some outlets reported that it was so tightly packed to begin with that people in the crowd couldn't move their arms.
That sounds terrible. How many people were there in attendance?
There were 50,000 people in the crowd. In addition to the 10 deaths, hundreds of people were injured. It was originally reported that about 300 people were injured, but some civil lawsuits alleged that at least 732 victims needed extensive medical treatment.
So how did this happen? Did they not prepare for the crowd at all?
There was a 56-page event operations plan for the festival with detailed protocols for dangerous scenarios like a shooter or severe weather, but there were no plans or protocols in the event of a crowd surge. All of those involved, and certainly much of society, has been left to grapple with the big question of who should be responsible.
Speculation swirled about potential criminal charges tied directly to Travis Scott's actions during the concert. This speculation included the possibility of charges like criminal negligence, manslaughter, and violations of safety regulations, among others. However, 19 months of investigation after the event, a Texas grand jury decided not to press charges against Travis Scott. Helping us navigate the complex ins and outs of the criminal side of the incident, we have Scott's criminal defense attorney, Kent Schaefer, here with us today to explain how the findings confirmed Scott was not criminally responsible for the tragedy at the festival.
From the criminal perspective, the government would have to be able to show a couple of things, either an intentional act or an omission where Travis failed to perform some duty knowing that death or serious bodily injury could result. The intentional acts were sort of ruled out. He never told anybody to riot, never told anybody to rush the front, never told anybody to ignore security. It was pretty clear that there was no intentional act. So the second thing the government's looking at is, well, what sort of duties did he have? And did he breach any of those duties? And were those duties of the type where he should have known that there could have been some sort of, you know, horrible result? The contract that Travis had with Live Nation gave him about six different areas that he's responsible for. He's responsible to show up and perform. He's responsible to provide his own security at the site of the venue. He's responsible to assist in marketing as requested, or he was required to assist with getting other headliners to perform. Now, conversely, within the same contract, it set out that Live Nation would have full responsibility for design and engineering the venue. They would have full responsibility for security. All of the people that were killed or seriously injured were in one quadrant, and it was the rear southern quadrant of the venue, which is maybe 80 yards from where Travis would be on stage. What they believed is that people were coming from stage two to stage one, and they naturally started filling up the area that was closest to them. And that's why that section was overcrowded as opposed to the other three sections. You can't show that Travis somehow knew that people would want to flow in to the rear section first, thus filling it up, and that death could result. I'm not even sure they could get there civilly against Live Nation. They then look at what Travis could see or hear from the stage and whether he should have stopped the concert. He did stop the concert 3 times. He stopped it once when he's right at the tip of the stage and he looks down and he sees somebody struggling. Another instance, he's up on a crane and he looks down, so he's over a lot of the lights, and he could see somebody on the ground. He's going, hey, y'all get some help here for this girl. And then another time, he sees flashing lights in the crowd, so he stopped the music at that point, and he keeps trying to hear what's going on. He can't hear, so he yells, if everything's all right back there, put your fingers in the air, you know. And everybody starts cheering and doing it, so he starts the concert back. The truth is, Travis didn't know anything happened until after the concert was over. As soon as he gets backstage, he's like, what's going on? And they're going, oh, there's some problem out in the crowd. He's like, all right, well, let me know what it is. There were 6 Houston police officers standing in front of the stage. 3 of them are taking selfies with Drake. So you have to wonder, if the police department was really aware of the severity of the situation, why didn't they just shut it down? And the truth is, I think they just weren't aware of the magnitude of the problem. Most of the people who ended up dying were either killed or injured in the first 10 minutes of the concert. But nobody communicated with any of Travis's people until a little bit after 9:50. Had Travis shut the concert down at 9:50, the people that were going to die were already dead. The grand jury kind of realized that really there's nothing Travis could have done other than just not show up that night that would have brought about any different result.
Criminal charges off the table. Scott, Live Nation, and the other security teams involved are still facing hundreds of civil claims. The possible damages are massive, with over 1,500 active claims of wrongful death, injuries, and emotional suffering, totaling billions of dollars. 3 families have already settled, but many more are still seeking justice. The first civil trial is set for this coming May. In September of this year, Scott made his first courthouse appearance to answer questions from attorneys for those who have filed lawsuits. However, those connected with the civil suits are under a gag order, preventing them from saying little beyond what happens during the court hearings. As attention moves from the criminal aspect of the Astroworld tragedy to the civil lawsuits, it's important to assess the responsibility and possible negligence of everyone involved in the concert. But this may prove to be difficult. How do we pinpoint responsibility when thousands are involved? And where does the line blur between a performer's influence and an attendee's actions?
So we know that Travis will not be held criminally liable and that a gag order is in place, but what defenses do you think the other side will potentially have?
Claims against Travis include negligence and inciting mayhem. We discussed in our interview that because of the stage setup, Travis claims he could not hear or see what was happening in the crowd. However, many of these lawsuits allege that Travis should have known and that he incited and encouraged the crowd.
Should have known? That sounds like they're saying it was foreseeable. Can you walk me through any evidence supporting that?
I think it will be important to look at Travis's past conduct. Astroworld is not the first time people have been injured at a Travis Scott concert. I found 4 incidents I think would be relevant. In 2015, Travis was arrested at Lollapalooza for encouraging attendees to climb over security barricades and storm the stage. He told the security to get the F back and told his fans to flip off the guards. He also led the crowd in a chant, "We want to rage." The show was shut down within 5 minutes and he was charged with disorderly conduct. In 2017, a man was paralyzed while attending a concert in New York. He alleges that a crowd surge caused him to be pushed off a 3rd-floor balcony during the show. Although Travis has denied liability, a video has surfaced where people are jumping from the 2nd balcony and Travis is encouraging them, saying, "I can see you, don't be afraid, they will catch you." He was also arrested the same year for a show in Arkansas when he encouraged fans to rush the stage and ignore security barriers. He was charged with disorderly conduct and inciting a riot. In 2019, a prior Astroworld concert, 3 fans were injured after being trampled when fans once again stampeded through the entrance and ignored security barriers. Next, I think there were some early signs that day. In the complaint against Travis filed by an Astroworld vendor, Ceremony of Roses, they claim that around 2 p.m. the crowd rushed the entrance, leaving numerous attendees injured. By 3:30 p.m., attendees began seeking medical treatment at a rate that overwhelmed the medical team. By 8:15, the medical team was unable to document the patients due to their number. In addition, the Houston police chief stated that prior to the concert, he visited Travis Travis in his trailer to share concerns about the crowd.
Aside from his past conduct, what other evidence shows that Travis may have incited or encouraged the crowd?
I found a now-deleted tweet that may show Travis encouraged overcrowding by saying, "We still sneaking the wild ones in," which sort of implies he wanted people to come in any way they can. He also told the crowd to rage, which is similar to the 2015 incident. And after stopping the show so that the ambulance could come through the crowd, he returned to performing and told the crowd to make the ground shake. Although this seems like innocent crowd encouraging words on their own, given the previous actions of the crowd, Travis maybe should have expected that his words could create mayhem. It would be interesting to see if these points get brought up in the coming suits.
Speaking of the public, I don't think we can discuss the aftermath of Astroworld without discussing the effect it had on them.
Can you expand on that? Is it safe to say that Travis was canceled?
I would say so. In the weeks following the tragedy, Travis Scott's professional life definitely took a hit. Brands like Nike, Sony, Dior, and Fortnite suspended or canceled collaborations.
So with two justice systems already in place, why is it that the public comes together to call out individuals?
According to legal professor Stephen Coe, cancellations are an old phenomenon, public shaming, and a new form, social media, emerging as a gap filler in our justice system.
What do you mean by gap filler?
Firstly, making judgments through social media is very accessible. Everyone can participate in making quick judgments compared to a slower and more exclusive legal system. Next, people are able to hold both conduct and people who are typically out of reach accountable, those who are wealthy, popular, or in other words, powerful.
What are some drawbacks to holding people accountable this way?
American lawyer Eric Posner addressed this issue in his book Law and Social Norms. He argued against shaming as a form of legal punishment because it's hard to calculate the effects of shame. It doesn't take into consideration how long someone should be punished for and how severe. It also presents barriers to those who did the wrongful conduct. In the legal system, defendants are given rights of due process. When people decide to cancel someone, they likely do not give that person fair notice or have all the evidence.
We discussed the immediate effects Travis faced, so what I am now wondering is whether cancellation has continued to have a big impact on him.
He has recently released a new album since the Astroworld tragedy called Utopia. According to Billboard, it debuted at number one on their Hot 200. Additionally, his tour instantly sold out back in August. However, tickets have reached resale prices as low as $7 in some cities.
So maybe cancellations are effective.
Maybe. The next year will be very telling as the Travis Scott tort cases play out. While the Astroworld tragedy is certainly a complicated situation, the hope is that the victims and their loved ones can achieve some sense of justice through the tort system, since the criminal system arguably failed to provide that. Whether justice comes by holding Travis Scott or one of the other parties liable, Astroworld stands as a heartbreaking reminder of the importance of safety in the world of concerts and festivals.
Who are you?
I'm Travis. Travis Scott.
But he didn't do anything wrong. He's not a Satan worshiper. He dates a Kardashian. That's not quite the same thing. I mean, it's close.